You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Folks, Mother's Day is around the corner, and let me talk to you about 1-800-Flowers. I can't wait. Every year, it's a tradition. I send stuff to my mother, my mother-in-law, and my wife because they are three amazing moms. They're better than all your moms out there. You think you have good moms? No, I have good moms in my life. I'm just kidding. This was a little harsh. I'm sure you guys all have good moms too. From your mom to the mother of your children and all the moms in between, this Mother's Day, give back to the ones that have given you everything. 1-800-Flowers helps you celebrate all amazing moms, from homemade bouquets, sweet treats, gourmet food, and one-of-a-kind gifts, ordered easily and delivered fresh. For a limited time, you can save up to 40% off Mother's Day bestsellers at 1-800-Flowers.com/Dan. Don't wait. Order today and save up to 40% at 1-800-Flowers.com/Dan.
Now's a good time to remember where the story of tequila started. In 1795, the first tequila distillery was opened by the Cuervo family. And 229 years later, Cuervo is still going strong. Family-owned from the start, same family, same land. Now's a good time to enjoy Cuervo, the tequila that invented tequila. Go to Cuervo.com to shop tequila or visit a store near you. Cuervo, now's a good time.
Trademarks owned by Becle, SAB, the CV. Copyright 2024, Proximo. Jersey City, New Jersey, please drink responsibly.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
I watched Roadhouse last night. Late into the night. Two-word appraisal. Bad ass.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah.
With a comma in between.
Oh no.
It was so bad.
I don't trust you with this one.
It was
one.
So
bad. Dan.
I don't trust you
Mike,
with this one.
Mike, I promise
How is this one bad? The trailer just look amazing.
Mike, I promise you it's bad. And it's ass. Conor McGregor is terrible in
Dan,
it.
Dan, I haven't seen
it. He looks
it
great
yet.
In
Come
it.
On.
He what? Looks like he's Conor McGregor.
He does look great. And Valerie accused him of getting ass implants because he's nude early.
They don't test for that anymore.
Put it on the poll, please, at Le Batard Show. Is it possible that Conor McGregor got ass implants? Spoiler alert, spoiler alert, Mike, that may ruin it for you. Somebody got attacked in Key West, just in Key West, by a crocodile.
That happens. Saltwater crocodiles in the canals?
That's
very dangerous.
Big problem.
This is not how that would happen. There would this.
Did you ever watch Bloodline? Like, that's exactly how that happens.
Absolutely. A crocodile?
Yeah, saltwater crocodiles in the Keys. Wow, tell me you don't go to the Keys often.
Thank you. That's what I was trying to tell you yesterday.
Everywhere. It's like one of the deepest fears I have. You can't jump into a canal on the Keys.
He's never been to Hog's Heaven.
Dude,
like,
you've never
clearly.
Been to Hog's Heaven.
The ocean is not a place that you're getting attacked by crocodiles. A canal is a place you might get attacked
Dude,
by a crocodile.
He was on a dock, Dan.
There are saltwater crocodiles everywhere in the ocean down here. Everywhere.
There's orcas now in the ocean.
Turkey Point.
A croc? Come on.
Coconut Grove. The Keys. Those canals in the Keys, they're very close to the open water in the ocean. That's all salt water. That's not necessarily brackish water. That is, the name is saltwater crocodiles. Exactly.
It
yes,
does, it does
in the ocean.
All right, I can be wrong because I did not know that. Well,
you're wrong about two things, because Roadhouse has a 66 on Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah.
It's badass. Yes.
Tony,
one word.
You no saw
the original Roadhouse, by the way, had 41% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Also badass.
Tony, no, that's badass.
So,
yes.
Tony, you're telling us, you're the only other one here, I think, who's
I
seen
saw
it.
Half of it. So I got to the point where you saw the saltwater croc.
So
I got
you're just
to that
on the
point.
Bad part, not the ass part?
I'm waiting for more ass to be kicked. Right now, Dalton has kicked some ass, but not as much ass as he needs to.
He's
about to kick way more ass.
Has he ripped out a trachea?
Not yet.
Because that is essential. That is canon.
But that happens
it?
Later on.
Tony, you liked it.
So far, Dan, I'm giving it the benefit of the doubt early, okay? Later on, we're going to catch up. And
there's
fill
there's
out the
no
badass.
Way Mike will like this. The writing is so bad. The writing is so bad.
I guarantee you I will like it. Just from the trailer, the fact that it's in the Keys, the fact that Conor McGregor looks like he knocks it out the park because all he has to do is be Conor McGregor.
But he does it starchly, stiffly. It doesn't feel very good. He's a bad actor. He's very bad at acting.
Okay, that works.
And the writing is very bad
for
him.
The kid and the dad are also bad actors in the glass book.
I love going to the Keys. It's shocking. lot there. So I just think from being able to look around at the scenery, I'm going to get a kick out of it. Oh, kick. How is his roundhouse kicks? Are they good? Because that's also essential.
I will wait for your appraisal.
I finish Madam Web, I'll get around to Roadhouse.
I was surprised before the show, this has never happened before, in terms of me having to step in to prevent a fist fight. I had to hold Lucy back when Mike Ryan called it March Madness and said that everything he saw yesterday was overrated.
The ones who get it, get it. Exactly, the ones who don't. And you don't get it. Uh-huh. You don't get it.
Excuse me, Lucy, with all due respect, and of everyone here, I'm probably the only blue blood. And I know what March is all about, having made consecutive very deep runs into the tournament. And it's a lot of trudging through mud and sewage to get to, like, moment.
That's what college sports is all about.
It's bad.
Sewage. Crap. It is awesome. You clearly didn't watch Nevada Dayton. That game kicked
Dayton
ass.
Dayton was down 13. Okay, late. That's like being down 50.
Lucy, I'm gambling again. I had Nevada. Rest assured, I watched it all. It's just not good. The game isn't great. Would have been a lot better if Miami were in it. Yeah, I can wear that homerism on my sleeve. But it's not good. And I understand getting all super hyped up for it. Yes, it's the best sports day of the year, blah, blah, blah. It doesn't match a regular old NFL Sunday slate. It doesn't match a Saturday afternoon in the Premier League. It doesn't match 5-10 p.m. puck drops in the NHL going on simultaneously. That. It doesn't match these things.
You don't get Jack Golkey in these things.
Golkey? Okay, we need to talk about Golkey. How did you not start the show with Golkey? Golkey is what March is all about. A guy with that kind of hairline who's going to be a terror in Rec League in 2 years, dropping 10 threes against Kentucky. I want to be Golkey. I love Golkey.
That guy is 40 years old. That guy has the perfect first name for somebody who makes 10 threes, Jack. That guy is the reason Jay Wright says the following, quote, "The era of taking these young freshmen and trying to play against older players is over. I think Cal did a phenomenal job with these guys all year. You can see they're playing against grown men. The guys on Kentucky will be far better pros than any of these guys on Oakland or any of these guys in the tournament, but they're not as good college basketball players."
And that's why we love it. College basketball is for the everyday folk, okay? We're not making it to the NBA, but we're going to have fun and we're going to screw things up in the process.
Right. We're going to hit 10 threes in Mike Ryan's face.
Jack Golkey actually gave voice to this, that point there exclusively in his post-game press conference.
Obviously, we come in, we're the underdog by all measures, but you just got to, as a player, you can't think that way. You got to go out there and you got to think that you have the same talent level as them. I know they have draft picks and I know I'm not going to the NBA, but I know on any given night I can compete with those type of guys and our team can compete with those type of guys. And that's why I was so confident going into it. And that's why I say we're not a Cinderella, because when we play our A game, we can be the best team on the floor.
Put it on the poll, please, at Lebatard Show. Have you ever thought of Cinderella as 50 years old?
Looks like Billy Donovan's hair when he wakes up in the morning. Oh,
yeah. It does. It has an Eddie Munster vibe to it. There's a lot of forehead surface area.
Yeah. That's what Bradley Cooper looked like in Wedding Crashers, by the way. Something's going on there. You may want to look into it.
What was the name of, was it Andrew Gase, the Australian player for Seton Hall a million years ago? The first time I remember watching a college game and saying, wait a minute, that's not fair. That guy's clearly, he's much older than everybody else. And I agree with Mike. This part cannot be disagreed with. It's bad basketball.
It's so
bad.
That's
the point.
Okay. You want to watch good basketball? Go watch the NBA, Dan. Exactly. This is not for good basketball.
There's no such thing.
This is for Jack Golkey.
There's no such thing as good basketball. In fact, maybe the ladies can come through today.
Stop.
Because today is also their day, and I'm excited to watch that tournament.
There's no good
but
basketball.
According
to you, there's no good basketball.
Hey, Doc, I watched all the games yesterday.
I need to see your jumper.
Again. What?
Doesn't sound like
what? Excuse me, I know ball.
I need to see your jumper.
I know ball.
After Amin's jumper, I need to see your jumper.
My jumper's fine.
Ball. I need to see it.
My jumper is fine. I'm also, I play within myself, and I'm not going to camp out at the perimeter. That's not my game. All right? I'm a junkyard dog inside. Everyone knows this. Also, I close out pretty well. All right? I'm not going to jack up six shots on the outside just because you want to see this. I'm an efficient basketball player. I grew up reading, heat index.
Mike Ryan just mentioned closeouts, and I will never look at them the same after what I saw in a terribly bored Clippers game here, where James Harden goes through the paint, passes it in the corner to his teammate Kawhi Leonard, and then closes out on Kawhi Leonard, just tries, pretends to try to block the shot of Kawhi.
What?
Now, keep in mind, they are up 20. It's the only defense James Harden has played in about 5 years, and he played it on his own teammate. And look at the score, incidentally. They get the rebound after this to go up by 24.
Did he get the rebound? Because he put himself in terrific position to grab that board.
I think that he got the ball back and then passed it again. Yeah, he did get the
rebound. Heads up play by James Harden.
For those of you who are not watching and just listening, again, James Harden came through the lane, passed it in the corner to his teammate Kawhi Leonard, and then was the closest to close out on Kawhi Leonard and jumped toward him and stuck a hand in his face. And Kawhi missed the shot. After the game, Ty Lue just shook his head, and James Harden said that, you know, we're just trying to keep it interesting late in the season. They're up by 25 against that terrible Portland team.
Here's why people love March Madness, and they conflate the upsets and they forget about the really bad games going on. What they love about March Madness is that it's happening at 11:30 a.m. Eastern.
Actually, that's a great take. Yeah. That's really, you know what? I got to give it to you there.
That's what sets it apart. And if you're not myopic and you watch European soccer and these international competitions, you realize, or if you watch tennis that's played in different time zones, you realize that this is afforded to you across the entire sporting landscape. And then when you line it up in terms of excellence on the field to play, you start poking holes on March Madness.
This is where I disagree with Mike, because we're having two different discussions, okay? The bad basketball, I think we can all come pretty close to agreeing with. I'm pretty upset with Mike's general spoiled about basketball attitude, where it's gotten so good that he thinks it's all bad. Like, the professional skill level has gotten so incredible that shots from the logo are normal, and now Mike is saying that it's all bad. But the place where he's right about some of this is, however... how is it, what is it that are 49ers, people who look for gold through pans?
Miners.
Yeah, miners.
Okay, this is what March Madness is. The pan has just so much dirt, mud, garbage, and worthless in it. But every once in a while,
sift it out.
You shake it loose, and what do you got? You got Jack Golke making 10 threes for Oakland to knock out Kentucky when all you're rooting for is for Kentucky to get knocked out. All I was rooting for yesterday was Kansas and Kentucky to lose. Samford, Samford to win. I mean, a lot of people say this. Nobody cares who you had, who I had. But to have Samford to win as a 13 and to lose that way when you get the perfect block at the end, and the referees foul it up, when the referees needs to not do that. You can't. The referees denied us that moment. So if there's a nugget of gold with Oakland, it gets shit on by that referee who took away from us the ability to have Samford beating Kansas.
The only reason they called a foul was because he fell. Like, that to me is the only reason that they called a foul.
I know that it's like searching for the nugget of gold, but I think the thing that's worth noting is you have this every single year, though. So you always know you're going to get a St. Peter's or an Oakland. So it keeps you coming back, even though, like, yes, you're going to get a bunch of duds. It's that fun Oakland story. It's that fun St. Peter's story that keeps you going. Like, I remember where I was when Lehigh beat Duke. Like, that's the shit that just stays with you forever. And it's awesome. And I don't know why you guys just aren't enjoying the moment.
Put it on the poll. Do you remember where you were when Lehigh beat Duke? And by the way, if you want to experience the Madness for yourself, this is being played all over our great nation. Why don't you open up a Game Time account, man? Yeah. I hear so many great things about Game Time from our fans out there. Deeply appreciative. I feel like I'm providing a service to our fine people out there. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use code Dan for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed. None of the silly games that are out there with all the other competitors. Right. Game Time for me is elite, upper echelon. Download the app right now.
Hey everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces. Fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay. The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Dan Le Batard.
Are you back on the caffeine? Are you back on the Red Bull?
Something's wrong. Yeah.
Something's wrong.
I mean, it's unbelievable how manic he is, and he keeps, you know, chewing on his bottom teeth in a way that's scaring me a little bit.
Stugatz.
I've been up since 5:30 a.m. producing content, and in terms of being able to be on, my body needs a little boost. And that's why I turned to cocaine.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz.
Again, I will double down on my point when it comes to March Madness. What you love the most about it is the time.
Can I buy you a better attitude on game time? Can I upgrade that?
Yeah, sure. Maybe it's ingrained in me to go counterculture. I also like March Madness, but in experiencing it yesterday, I realized that the only thing that sets it apart is being able to do this before you even
getting
have
home.
Lunch.
Yeah, it's getting home and putting on the games. It's the amount, Mike.
It's not just that you've got something at 11:30. It's that you got before 6 p.m. You got 20 games going on.
Any college football Saturday.
But you said you Saturday. It's the weekend. This is the weekday. Yeah. This is when we have nothing. This is when we have like Bengals Colts on a Thursday night.
Again, you have the NBA. You have the NHL. You have simultaneous games going on all the time. And I think a lot of what's happening with March Madness is nostalgia, because it came at a time where you weren't able to watch multiple games at the same time. And you had one network basically cutting to dramatic finish. It was a red zone before the red zone. And while it's awesome and it still remained kind of good, it's something that's more available than ever for any type of sport. So I think a lot of that shine has worn off, and you're just left with the quality on the field to play, and it's not that good.
It's the reason that I like college football so much, where if you have an upset in the NFL, you have an upset in the NFL. And if you have an upset in college football, it's the craziest thing in the world. No one can believe Alabama lost. It's the same thing with March Madness. Right. If the Pistons beat the Celtics, okay, you'll get a 30-second hit on SportsCenter and you're done. When Oakland beats Kentucky, everyone is talking about it. Right. Everyone is involved with this tournament, filling out their bracket. It's a community thing. It's fun. We all care. And maybe you should look at the positive side of things.
That's right. I like it. I'm not saying I don't like it.
Sounds
I'm just,
like you don't like it.
Mike, no, Armando Bacot's going to be at UNC for his 10th year. Yeah. You're not excited about that?
No, he was at UNC before Patrick Mahomes won a single Super Bowl. That is a real
How could you
stat.
Not love that? You know what? I have a top five for things about March.
Yes! Okay.
All right, go for it.
Number five, Tom Izzo.
Hang on, give me a second. I'm new at this.
People bet against
all this.
People bet against Tom Izzo yesterday. How dare
Tom
you?
Tom Izzo in March? Are you kidding me?
How dare you?
He's so dialed in. You think about Coach Cal, great recruiter, good coach. Then he gets to March, crap, right? Tom Izzo, the complete opposite. During the season, but then when it gets to March, he's dialed in.
I really do feel the way Mike is looking at this, though, is like the person who buys 1,000 lottery tickets, very excited, and then none of them come in. But if one of them comes in, if there's an Oakland in there, all of a sudden you love March Madness.
That's how the parlay business keeps going. Because it's about the one that you win. Guys, I like March Madness. After this, I'm going to a sports bar with my friends to watch March Madness. What I'm saying is, it's not the greatest thing in sports that people make it out to be. In fact, when you compare it to the sports landscape, it's kind of mid.
Number four, the aforementioned Armando Bacot playing his 10th season.
The Players was going on at a similar time last week. With two amazing holes, a hotly contested competition.
The players. I want to see is Armando Bacot for his 10th season. That's what I want to see. Number three, Nevada blowing a 17-point lead in the second half.
That one hurt.
You can't get that outside of March. You can, but you can't.
That one hurt. That one hurt a lot. I had a decent amount of quid on Nevada. Dayton ended that game on 24-4 run.
Oh, you can't go against the Flyers. Dayton in March? Are you kidding me? That's a lock.
Do they still host the first four? Is that still the tradition? I don't get that one.
Number two, the AD taking credit for Long Beach State getting into the tournament.
Please put his picture on the screen here. I want to read this quote because Dan Monson was fired and the press conferences afterward in which all of this stuff was discussed because it was funny to listen. If you don't know the story, Dan Monson of Long Beach State was fired on Monday, and then he, they make the tournament. They win their tournament, and the athletic director, whose name is Bobby Smitherin, and looks exactly like you would think somebody who has no respect for 17 years of building Long Beach State into what Monson built it into. He comes in after 3 or 4 months, and he fires him. And then the quote is, my belief, and I haven't heard him say this, I'm just reading the quote, so I don't know if there's a smile on his face, I don't know if there's tongue-in-cheek involved here, I don't know if tongue-in-cheek is even allowed anymore today, the way the internet works.
Not the way that the internet works. Because
choose one.
Because I actually saw the video in question, and it looks like he's trying to make the most of it because he's got egg on his face. This is not a great look for him, despite making it to the tournament, which is an achievement for an AD. But yeah, he made what most people would call is a mistake. So he's trying to make the most of it and have fun of an awkward situation. But the quote is pretty damning when you see it absent that.
Roy, can you do me the favor, please, and find for me the origins on tongue-in-cheek, how it is that that works, and also egg on his face. I'd like some of the origins of that as well, because I don't know why someone has egg on their face. But the quote from Bobby Smitherin is, my belief and hope is that by doing what I did and the timing of it, they would play inspired, and that's what they did. I'm not trying to pat myself on the back, but it worked.
That's March.
Now imagine...
That's Stugatz. That's not March.
Patino too.
Imagine that quote with a shit-eating grin attached to it, and it changes it a little bit.
Okay, the shit-eating grin. Let's talk about this for a second.
That's important.
It's another one we have to look up, Roy.
Were eating shit, do you think you'd be grinning? Because
it's a little one.
But it's not a grin of happiness. Like, a shit-eating grin
is
happy.
This one does not make sense.
The only time the shit-eating grin I've seen is my dog likes to eat the cat turds.
Does it make him happy?
Yeah, it does. Only time I've seen a shit-eating grin, and it disgusts me. I've lost respect for my dog when he comes out of there with kitty litter on his face, and I'm like, how'd you get in there again? We've booby-trapped the entire house to prevent the way that you disgust me when you do this.
Shit-eating grin is possibly a contraction of grinning like a possum eating shit, later detached from meaning persisting due to his vividness. So, there you go.
Thank you, Roy.
I don't understand what the last part of that sentence
was. So possums eat shit and then they smile?
Well, there are a lot of nutrients. Possums got to get it where they can get it. And if animals
are there nutrients in shit? Because yes. I thought your body takes all the nutrients from the shit, and then all that's left
excrement, yeah.
is the shit.
I think that if a possum's eating it, my guess is the possum is finding something in the way of nutrients from other animals having undigested things in their shit that possums can eat.
I think it's like how manure is like used in soil, because I think there are nutrients in it. That would make sense in my brain, right?
The possum is also, I don't know how your brain works, the possum is also not a discerning beast of any kind. It is a pea-brained animal, and whatever it is that it eats, I wouldn't trust it to do what it's supposed to be doing.
Human feces is rich in potassium.
Put it on the poll, please, at Lebatard Show. Did you know that human shit was rich in potassium? Also put it on the poll. Did you know that in the Atlantic Ocean, a crocodile could eat you in the Keys?
Number one, Oakland's Jack Golke. By the way, I was just told something, and I have breaking news for everybody. Oakland is in Michigan.
That was shocking.
What? You didn't know that?
You didn't know multiple Oaklands in this country?
First time that Oakland's made a run for you guys? Yeah, no. We've learned that.
Not only did I learn that, I learned that the same kind of way that you learned it, Tony, but when Mike was over by the breakfast in the eating area, I wandered past him and mumbled a secret shame. I said to him, I don't want to admit publicly or privately how much I've bet Oakland the last, I don't know, 7 years, not just in the tournament, just any time I'm scrolling through bets and I'm bored and I see Oakland is playing, even if I don't know anything about them other than the fact that they're in Michigan, because I learned that last time, and I discover Golke when I turn on my television, because I can't get these games. I'm not watching these games when I'm betting them, but if I see Oakland on the scroll, I'm like, I trust them to surprise some people. And they're going to surprise them as soon as you don't realize that they're in Michigan. Like that I discovered all of that the same way you learned of it
also,
yesterday.
Jacksonville State, not in Jacksonville.
What?
Well, Florida, anyways.
Think about this. I was looking at this as Oakland, California, and I was like, Jack Golke in Oakland, I like it. Dog, making it happen.
Jack Golke doesn't look like any Oakland I've ever seen in my life.
On the tougher side of the bridge.
As you could see how I was amused by it.
Egg on your face goes back to the late 1800s, early 1900s, when audience would throw rotten eggs and vegetables at bad actors on stage, or actors would smash eggs on their faces to get laughs from the audience.
I thought it was tomatoes that got thrown at people during that time.
Rotten eggs and vegetables, yes, so that would be included.
And tongue-in-cheek is the last of these, because I don't... Did you guys think that quote, when I'm reading that quote, it doesn't sound tongue-in-cheek. It sounds like the AD is taking credit for them making an inspired run because he fired the coach, who, incidentally, is working for not money.
Honestly, James Harden, back again. He's up 21, so he's just joshing out there. It's against the Blazers. No respect for the other team. How are the Blazers feeling about things right now?
No respect for anything. Have any of you ever seen somebody close out a three on a teammate in an NBA basketball?
Last week we saw Joe Mazzulla close out after the buzzer, which was kind of weird and not talked about. That dude is odd.
Yes, he's unusual.
He is an odd person.
Yes, I cannot wait to see how that disintegrates in his lap, because he is unusual.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Dan Le Batard.
All these high-paid analysts, I don't want to mention names, TNT, ESPN, you know, they are dead. They cannot. They're not going to make it. You know, even if they win if they lose in Miami,
I need to calm you down.
If they lose in Miami, they don't got a chance in Boston. Or they are going to have their ass. You know what? In Boston, you know,
Stugats.
They were wrong. They were. Are they going to lose their job? No. Are they going to get a cut in pay? No. What are they going to do? Keep predicting what is the obvious. They are going to say, "Oh, the Nuggets are going to win." Oh, Denver, the altitude. And you know what? The Heat are going to win it all.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugats.
tongue-in-cheek, Roy. Give me tongue-in-cheek, please.
The most believable explanation for its origin is that in the 1700s, people would show contempt or skepticism by using the tongue to poke out a budge in their cheek. By 1842, tongue-in-cheek had acquired its modern meaning, meaning take this with a grain of salt. It's intended to be humorlessly ironic.
Humorlessly?
Humorously.
Humorously. I want to go back to something that broke at the end of the show yesterday, and I and this show have been guilty over the years of not being great about covering women's basketball. And through that time, Katie Meyer at the University of Miami built something that not only represents, you know, an enormous number of wins, but represents a kind of pioneering that none of us can possibly understand how hard it was to build everything she has built. I gave you the stat a few days ago that in college football, only one in five coaches are still in the place that they were in 2019. Like, the turnover now is crazy in those jobs. To have somebody for 20 years leave on her terms, I mean, she's not happy with what the committee did and what happened with the punctuation at the end. I don't know. Mike's closer to the program. He'll tell us perhaps how much that did or didn't have to do with the timing on what happened yesterday, because she leaves pissed off. She leaves because she feels like the thing that she built at the end wasn't properly respected and was denied a tournament berth. But I don't want to ignore the fact that this woman working in the shadows has built something substantive out of nothing, because this did not have any kind of following when she got here, and it got a following only because she built it, stayed with it, cares in a really, I'm not going to say an unusual way, but cares the way that you have to in order to have that kind of success for that long with all of the changes that have come. But that is a legitimate pioneer that retired yesterday in Miami, a name that's known nationally as a pioneer. And the only reason this doesn't stain the University of Miami is because she's just leaving and not yet taking another job, and I assume not going to take another job. But if she were to have taken another job, it would be an indictment on the University of Miami, and I just don't know enough of the details about why she left.
She bleeds orange and green. She's still going to be around the program. There's a lot that has gone on in Katie's personal life. She's newly married, a wonderful wife in Hunter. This came as a shock. She's still relatively young, but she has been doing this for a while. I can attest, 19 years doing one thing is a very long time to be doing it. She's done it at a level that we've never seen before. You can make an argument that she's on the Mount Rushmore of Miami athletic head coaches, and we've had a lot of great head coaches. You mentioned that she has a special relationship with her players, and that's unique. And a lot of coaches do have these really special bonds with their players. I've never seen anything quite like
she cares unusually deeply and has since there was no one at the game.
Yeah, she wears her emotion on her sleeve. She connects the players on much deeper levels. And Miami is a historical outlier. For them to really achieve anything in athletics as a private institution with a really low student body is an achievement. And she established high watermark after high watermark after high watermark, developed this program after a run in the Elite Eight to something that is actually getting resources now. This yesterday came as a surprise and a shock, and it was a little bit heartbreaking. And once you pick up the pieces, you try to wonder where you're going to from here. I'm so happy that Katie's gonna at least have a hand in it, and I hope she basically has the ability to name her successor. I think she's earned that right here, and it's my hope that it's Fitzroy Anthony, who's the lead assistant, who was lead recruiter on Miami's greatest recruiting class in the history of that program here at Miami. I think he'd be a tremendous hire, and I'm normally against promoting from within, and the AD should do a national search, but I think the answer is here. And if Katie wants that to be the answer, then I think we should all respect it. Great coach. If she were available in an open market, top jobs would be interested in her. She is a pillar, And it's really, really heartbreaking to see her go. She knows what's best for this program, though, so you got to have to trust her judgment. But an icon just hung him up. And what's really a bummer about it is I feel like us as a show, and we kind of are the talisman of the local market when it comes to speaking about things, we kind of just got around to recognizing this career. And that's a shame, because we should have honestly been touting her for a very long time.
Speaking of the local market and the local media, I want to talk a little bit about what's grown into what feels like Mike Ryan's genuine disappointment with the Miami Heat's media, with the team. Like, you've been, a lot of people are annoyed in general with our show for how we're covering the Heat, and it's expansive how they get annoyed that we talk about them too much, period, or that the way we talk about them is a little negative, emotional, and spoiled. The Heat media, though, has been, much of it has been in those jobs for a long time. And there is a symbiotic relationship between the Heat and the media that is a little comfortable. And there's not a lot of critique in the Heat media. There's a lot more critique in Heat Twitter and in social media. There's a big, giant gulf between the amount of criticism you get from the objective reporters who are paid to cover the team accurately and then only become very loud critics when it becomes clear to everyone that the Heat is done with Kyle Lowry, and then the Heat media turns on Kyle Lowry. But it is interesting to watch sometimes how the Heat media doesn't feel very much all the time like an independent arm that is loudly critical of the team. I will say, though, that the team often doesn't deserve a lot of criticism, so that's also part of what dilutes the coverage.
So last time I decided to sideswipe the Miami Heat and criticize them for a year and a season and an approach that I think is worthy of criticism. Terry Rozier, God bless him, hit a game winner against the Donovan Mitchell-less Cleveland Cavs, and Miami got a win, a huge win for them.
Wait a minute. That whole sentence, Donovan Mitchell, God bless him.
Donovan Mitchell-less Cleveland Cavs.
I know, but Terry Rozier, yeah. God bless him, and then Donovan, that whole sentence.
Yeah, well, I don't want to necessarily take out the conventional media, because I think the lines have blurred, and there's a lot of non-traditional media that has found its way into what we can now categorize as Heat media and Heat Twitter adjacent. It's funny that as Twitter as a platform, later became X, has gotten more toxic, Heat fans have gone the other way. I miss the days of 2010 where Heat Twitter was a very toxic place, very knee-jerk, very hyperbolic. Oh, I loved it. You guys have changed. And the people that are covering this, the most prominent accounts that are covering the Miami Heat basketball organization, aren't traditional media entities. And let me tell you something. I have found, especially since I seem to be the only person now in the world that feels like they can criticize the Miami Heat, which is a huge sea change. Look, about 25% of Heat media is actively trying to get hired by the Miami Heat. So you got to take that with a grain of salt. They are incapable of true criticism. They only show spine when it's evident to everyone that Kyle Lowry is out the door. Heaven forbid you say something about Kyle Lowry that might ruffle some feathers when he is here.
That's not spine, though. That's not spine.
Heat Twitter and Heat media adjacent accounts that have rightfully found their way into the conversation and do a great job of covering this team to a degree, generally spineless, and some real chicken shit behavior from them. Wow. So let me tell you something. It is absolutely normal to criticize a team when they are in a run of poor form. You can also have long view conversations. But to just totally ignore certain facts and to be afraid of criticism. Guys, we were born in fire. We invented this toxic platform they call Twitter. And you've all just gone away like crabs scurrying. And now you're just all company men. Find your balls.
Put it on the poll, please, at Lebitard Show. Worst thing to hear about yourself, spineless or chicken shit behavior, because you escalated spineless by going to chicken shit behavior, and I think it should go from chicken shit behavior to spineless. I also think you made up that stat about 25%.
No, 25% of them are trying to get hired by Miami.
So you made one of four yes. Heat media members.
Which is fine. God bless you.
Again, with another
God bless you. I hope you get hired.
God bless you.
But you're afraid to criticize them because you're actively trying to get hired by them.
That should bless you.
And you talk yourselves into like the craziest stuff. I mean, the craziest stuff. I see tweets like, this is why the Miami Heat brought in Terry Rozier. You've been silent for 3 weeks. You've been silent. No, they brought him in for 8 of 36 from the field, too. Do that.
Amen.
Show me that highlight package, okay? Enough with this.
I've got the God bless list here. We're doing Terry Rozier and then Heat Media, but not all of them, just a quarter of them.
And people that like March Madness, I think, God bless them. Okay. And I think if I haven't said God bless Katie Meyer, yeah. Add her to the list. God bless her.
Well,
and Alexander Barkov, God bless you.
This list is
get back
well,
in the lineup,
because you're putting Katie well. Meyer yeah. and Terry Rozier on the same God bless list.
There's different. No, God bless you could be sarcastic and also sincere.
But they can't coexist. You've been using it just sarcastically.
God bless Jack Golke.
Hallelujah.
And don't no God bless yous to any of the opposing goaltenders that are facing the Florida Panthers lately.
Oh, well.
That all turn into Dominic Hasek.
Roy, this is the worst stretch of the season for the Florida Panthers. What is happening here? You guys have lamented 10 days ago they're getting hot at the wrong time.
Well, Chris Cody should be really happy. Everybody breathe. They've lost three straight after going on the best stretch in franchise history. They've had some injuries. And on top of that, the teams that they've lost to, Carolina, Tampa Bay, and last night with Nashville, these are possibly the three hottest teams in the league right now.
I've got bad news.
What is it?
The Florida Panthers were plus 650, and I put a little quid on them to win the Stanley Cup.
Oh, no.
And then I think that's when the three-game skid started.
God damn it, Tony.
They've gone down. In fact, now they are co-favorites inside their own conference.
Gotcha and bless
you. To win the Eastern Conference.
He damned you.
I'm putting
God.
My name on it. I'm putting my name on
it. He didn't
list.
Bless you with God. He damned you with God. Roy, your wife
Impossible,
is,
Dan. I found him in the woods.
Yes, I know.
Your wife is a holy woman. She cannot be happy with
She's him. Not. She's not. She's
this
not
is why happy. He's fasting.
I'm not fasting anymore. It ended on Tuesday.
So you atoned for all the goddammits, and now you got new ones to atone for.
I'm back, baby.
Hey everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.